You may be seated. Do you guys really wait for me to say that? I think I lost myself. There we go. Apparently Brent said, no, you don't need me to say that. He muted me, so you guys will figure it out. Well, good morning, everyone. So happy to see everyone this morning. Couple announcements for you. What's the first one, though? Is it the VBS? I don't know if you know this, but we have VBS coming up. Yes. Kathy is pumped, okay? Kathy's so pumped, she wants you to go over to her after service and sign up to help. That's how pumped she is. But seriously, if you are available that week, please see Kathy to help out. It takes a lot of people to run an event like that. And so we don't want the same people doing the same things year after year. It's a good way to get involved with the church. It's a good way to meet people of the church. And the really cool thing is that VBS is really designed to reach out to the community. So we as a church community can reach out. So don't count on other people to do that for you. Okay? Yes? No? Yes. All right, a few people. I tried, Kathy. I'll keep trying. So that is July 22nd through the 24th. That's a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 6 to 7:30 p.m. And then after that, on that Friday, July 25th, we're going to have Christmas in July again. So glow sticks, worship service at 8, and then we'll have an outdoor movie at the patio. No one came up with names besides Brent. And Brent, I can't use the one. What'd you say it was, the party patio? I just don't think I can, in good conscience, call it the party patio at a church. The overhang. At the old overhang down there. Yeah, that's way better. So somewhere down there, we'll have a outdoor movie at 9:30 p.m. I think we have the movie, right? Yes. What was the movie again? The Best Christmas Pageant Ever. The new one, not the old one. The new one, okay. I like the old one. I mean, there's a couple things in there that we probably shouldn't show in church, but I love that old one. I think at one point the kids are smoking cigars, right, in the church? Yeah. I remember the first year I showed it to kids, my wife, who said we should play it, and they started smoking at the church. I'm like, well, what are we playing right now for the kids? She's like, oh, we just have to get past this part, okay? It was really good, so. Anyway, we have two women's events coming up. We have a kayaking event Tuesday, July 1st, Center Lake Public Access. You'll want to see Jamie if you don't have a kayak or a paddleboard. She has all the information. And then we also have a summer bike ride Wednesday, July 2nd at 9 p.m. Going to... Oh, sorry. You don't want to ride at night? No. Who said no? Okay, all right. Since you said no, we won't do it. 9 a.m., okay? I wanted to blame it on Leslie, but it says 9 a.m., so that was me. So you're going to meet at the Cadillac Public Library. You're going to ride around Lake Cadillac, pit stop in Cadillac West. I know someone that lives in Cadillac West. No, no, no. Let's not go that far, okay? No. So there's plenty of places to go around there, okay? There's a coffee house. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. So that's all coming up. Anything else? That's all I got. Let's jump into it. You want to? So we are going to finish our series on the Holy Spirit today. And so we've kind of journeyed along. And if you actually notice, we've only made it to like halfway through the book of Acts. And we've skipped a lot. Like there's a lot going on in Acts. But I hope and I pray that this series has kind of opened our eyes up to what the potential of the Holy Spirit is in our lives. Because I think like the main takeaway I wanted to get through this series was that we really undervalue the Holy Spirit, that we really take for granted all that the Holy Spirit does in our lives, is that we often look at the Holy Spirit and we're just kind of like, and I've said this in a few messages, we're like, all right, just kind of stay over there. I'll use you when I need you, but just, I want to talk about God. I want to talk about Jesus. Like those are often the main things that we talk about in church, and the Holy Spirit kind of gets just left behind. But if we really think about like how God is like revealing himself to the world today, like Jesus isn't walking around anymore. It is his Holy Spirit that is empowered through us that God is revealing himself. So we're doing a disservice to God if we devalue the Holy Spirit. So that's kind of like my main message for this whole series is don't put the Holy Spirit in a box. Trust in the Holy Spirit because that is how God reveals himself to you today. We're going to be in Acts 13, starting at verse 1 through 12. Let us read together. Among the prophets and the teachers of the church at Antioch of Syria were Barnabas, Simeon called the black man, Lucius from Cyrene, Manaen, the childhood companion of King Herod Antipas, and Saul. One day, as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Dedicate Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them." So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. Verse 4, so Barnabas and Saul were sent out by the Holy Spirit. They went down to the seaport of Seleucia and then settled on the island of Cyprus. There in the town of Salamis, they went to the Jewish synagogues and preached the word of God. John Mark went with them as their assistant. Afterward, they traveled from town to town across the entire island until they reached, I wrote this one down, till they reached Paphos, where they met a Jewish sorcerer, a false prophet named Bar-Jesus. He had attached himself to the governor, Sergius Paulus, who was an intelligent man. I love that little, we'll get to it. The governor invited Barnabas and Saul to visit him, for he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, as his name means in Greek, interfered and urged the governor to pay no attention to what Barnabas and Saul said. He was trying to keep the governor from believing. Saul, also known as Paul, was filled with the Holy Spirit and looked at the sorcerer in the eye. Then he said, "You, son of the devil, full of every sort of deceit and fraud, an enemy of all that is good, will you never stop perverting the true ways of the Lord? Watch now, for the Lord has laid his hand of punishment upon you, and you will be struck blind. You will not see the sunlight for some time." Instantly, mist and darkness came over the man's eyes, and he began groping around, begging for someone to take his hand and lead him. When the governor saw what had happened, he became a believer, for he was astonished at the teaching about the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for just this time that we get to share together this morning. And Lord, I pray now that as we've gathered together as community, we've sent up our worship to you. We've sung songs to you. Lord, I pray that your spirit would be upon us now, that it would help guide us and lead us in this moment, that whatever it is that you want to reveal to us today, that your spirit would press upon us now. I pray that every distraction that we have in our head and our mind going on, whatever it is in our life, Lord, that we're able to push it to the side and trust that your spirit is working. I pray that you will be with the words that I say today, that you will clean up any of the words that I mess up in the ears of the people, that it would only be your spirit and your truth that they hear today. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, everyone said, Amen. So we really have to understand we're at a very vital point in this story. Because up to this point, we've kind of really been tracking with the Jerusalem church and the Jews and their conversion of coming to Christianity. So really at this point, we're starting to switch the story and we're going to start following Paul. And Paul's starting to take his message to the Gentiles. So we get one more mention of kind of like Peter and what he's doing, and James is killed and imprisoned and they come out of jail. But then really the story shifts over to Paul and Barnabas and Silas and like how the message is going to the Gentiles. I want to read from Acts 13:46 because this is kind of confirms it. Then Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and declared, "It was necessary that we first preach the word of God to you Jews. But since you have rejected it and judge yourself unworthy of eternal life, we will offer it to the Gentiles." So this is really like the transition point of Acts. It's like Paul's gotten to this place like we tried to give it to you guys. You've really just rejected it. So we're gonna do what God's called us to do, and we're gonna move on to the Gentiles. And I kind of just want to talk about like what does the Holy Spirit do? Like, because we're gonna see how it works through Paul here. And faith empowered by the Holy Spirit leads to boldness. Have you ever had that moment where you really feel like you're like the Holy Spirit's upon you and your words just come out with so much like vigor? Like, anybody ever like feel like that? Nobody, okay. Just a raise of hands. How many of you like you really like feel like the Holy Spirit's upon you and you feel like your words like really hold like weight? Like, is there anybody out there besides myself? All right, a few. It's amazing how when we're connected to the Holy Spirit, the boldness that's able to come out of us. And we'll see like in this story, like when Paul and Barnabas are empowered by the Holy Spirit, like the boldness that comes from them. And Paul is known as a pretty bold person all throughout the book of Acts. Like at one point in his letter to the Galatians, he like calls out Peter. I don't know if you know this, but he like basically calls him out and he's like saying like, "Peter, I don't know what you're doing." He calls him two-faced. That's as nice as I can say it. He's basically saying like, "Peter, you did one thing. Then your friends showed up from Jerusalem. Then you started doing another thing." Like when we're empowered by the Holy Spirit, our words become bold. So I hope that's one lesson that we take away. Faith empowered by the Holy Spirit leads to transformation. So when we're connected to the Holy Spirit, when we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us, it changes who we are. Like if we look at the story of Saul when he has that moment on Damascus Road, we didn't cover it, but at some point we will. But when he has that moment and he sees Jesus speaking to him, like the Holy Spirit at that moment transforms him. And so no longer is he going around rounding up Christians, putting them in jail and persecuting them. He is now on their side fighting for them and fighting for the Gentiles to say that Jesus Christ is the only way. So the Holy Spirit transforms us. And this is the last one. Faith empowered by the Holy Spirit leads to mission. And this is kind of where we're going to land today is if we are connected to the Holy Spirit and our faith is grounded in Jesus, the only logical place to go is on mission, right? We're not necessarily talking about going overseas. And when we often talk about being on mission, people think about like missions trips across the world. Like you can be on mission in this room. Like you can be on mission when you sign up to help with VBS. Did it again, right? Yeah, okay. But that can be on mission as well. It's like when we're connected to the Holy Spirit, we begin to see the mission around us, right? We don't just walk through life with like blinders on, because that's what Paul was doing. Like, he thought he was doing the right thing. He thought he was following the one true God. And he's walking around life like this. And so he has this moment with Jesus where he becomes blind and he can see again. And the blinders are taken off. And now, because the Holy Spirit is in him, he's looking around and he sees mission all around him. He sees that everyone needs to hear the good news of Christ. And so that's where we're going to land today. Acts 13, starting at verse 1. I'm just going to jump to verse 2, Leslie. I don't need to go through all those names again, right? Okay. Verse 2. One day, as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them." Our first point is this: worship aligns us to God's will. Worship aligns us to God's will. One day, as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said. So since they were connected to the Holy Spirit, that was the only way they heard from the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Like, you can't hear from something you're not connected to. Like, if I'm not spending time connected to the Holy Spirit, and then I come up here on Sunday and say, "Well, the Lord gave me this word," like, that's just me saying things to make it sound like that's really cool, right? Like, you would want your pastor to say, "I'm connected to the Holy Spirit," right? I would hope so. But if I start saying some like wild and crazy things, like, you as a congregation are going to start going, "I don't know. I don't really know if he's connected to the Holy Spirit." So it's hard to like put on this like facade for a long period of time if you're not truly connected to the Holy Spirit. And how many times have, I don't want to know the number, but how many times have you heard someone say, "Well, the Holy Spirit told me this. This is what the Holy Spirit gave me." And you know how they walk through life, and you're like, "I don't think so." And what we see in this picture here with Barnabas and Saul is that they're worshiping and they're fasting. They're connected to the Holy Spirit. And the Lord speaks to them. This is a moment that is confirmed by the whole entire community. So this is like a lesson for us. It's like, if we were ever to have a moment where someone said, "I feel like the Holy Spirit's telling me this," I would hope that we as a community would kind of evaluate that. Right? It wouldn't be just like one individual, but what Luke is trying to show us here in this picture is that this church in Antioch was really connected to the Holy Spirit. So much so that while they were fasting and praying, the Holy Spirit came upon them. Like, that's what Luke is trying to show us when he's writing this, is that through, through the Holy Spirit, they are now going to be on mission. But they never get to that place unless they are connected to the Holy Spirit. So it's really important. And I think the lesson of this first part is, where does the Holy Spirit speak to you? How does God speak to you? If some of you are like, read that question, you're like, "Well, I don't really know." It's time to find a spot. Like, you got to find somewhere. Because we just talked about, like, you can't hear from God unless you're connected to God. Like, is it in your office? Is it in your bedroom? Is it on the patio? Like, where is the space that you have set aside as a follower of Christ to hear the voice of God? Because it's really important that we are connected to the Holy Spirit, so that it can empower us for mission. Oftentimes, when we will do a really good job, we'll say, "This is my space of where I'm going to connect with God." right? It can be whatever it is, bedroom, patio, whatever it is. This is my space. And then we'll get to the place, and then we'll put our Bible down. We'll set our coffee. I don't know if you drink coffee. I drink coffee. Set our coffee down, and we're like, okay, this is the perfect space to hear from God. And you start, and then what happens? Every single time, thought pops in your head, phone rings, kids running it, like any number of distractions come up, right? Like we often are like, man, I can just never get a moment with God. Church, today the world is fast-paced. You are connected in more ways than you've ever been connected to anything. You have to be intentional about disconnecting. Like, our world has gotten to that place. Like, we have to be intentional about how we disconnect from everything else and connect to Him. Like, it's not as easy as it was before. Like, the church at Antioch, they're not, like, on their iPhones hanging out. Like, praying and fasting was probably all they had. Now, it was a big city, so they probably had some other things they could be doing, but you get the point. You have to be intentional about the time and the space that you set aside for God to speak to you. Let's go a little bit further. Acts 13. We'll read verse 2 again and go to verse 3. One day as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Appoint Barnabas and Saul for special work to which I have called them." So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. Our next point is this: the call comes before the coordinates. The call comes before the coordinates. And we're not going to get into it too deep today, but the idea of spiritual disciplines, like we'll do a series on those at some point, and we'll talk about fasting and what it actually looks like when you practice fasting. But really, what you're doing is in place of eating food, this meal, I'm going to focus on God. That's like the simplest way I can put it. So this normal time that I would have a meal here, I'm going to focus on God in this time. And through my hunger, I'm more connected to God and His Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? That's like the easiest way that I can explain it. So as they're spending time in these spiritual disciplines, God calls these two for special work. Now we read something like this, and you know, maybe you just like picked up your Bible for the first time, or you've only read through Acts a few times. As you read this and you're like, oh, cool, they're getting called on a mission. And they're going to get whisked away and they're going to go on mission. But what we have to understand is that Barnabas and Saul didn't just like show up to this church and were like, all right, let's go on mission. They spent a significant amount of time connected to the Holy Spirit, worshiping, praying, fasting. Like, their whole life was involved around God. So it wasn't just like this like one-time thing where they heard this like guy say, do you want to go on a mission? They're like, yeah, let's go. Like, that's not what happened. Like, the moment that Saul is converted to when they go on their first mission trip, which is where we're at right now, it's been over a decade. Like, it's only a few like chapters in the book, but it's over a decade that Paul has been following Christ and being connected to the Holy Spirit. Let's read a little bit further. Acts 11, starting at verse 22. When the church at Jerusalem heard what had happened, they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of God's blessing, he was filled with joy, and he encouraged the believers to stay true to the Lord. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and strong in faith, and many people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went on to Tarsus to look for Saul. When he found him, he brought him back to Antioch. Both of them stayed there with the church for a full year, teaching large crowds of people. It was Antioch, that the believers were first called Christianos, or Christians. Galatians 1:18. Then 3 years later, I went to Jerusalem to get to know Peter, and I stayed with him for 15 days. A little bit further in Galatians 2:1. Then 14 years later, I went back to Jerusalem again, this time with Barnabas, and Titus came along. There is a significant amount of time that goes from the conversion to the first missions trip. Church, I want you to understand this. Like, during that whole time, they were surrounded by believers. They were connected to the Holy Spirit, and they put their trust in the Lord. No one's asking you to go on a mission trip when you first, like, start believing in Christ. Maybe somebody did. I don't know. I didn't. But there's an importance to being saturated with the Holy Spirit. Now, this isn't to say that you can't be on mission when you first start believing, right? Because what do we see with Paul? When he first is converted, what's he start doing? He starts preaching. Now, Paul might have had a head up of us because he knew the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament, really well. And so when his eyes are open on that conversion moment, he's starting to see all the Old Testament that he knows through the lens of Jesus. And so when he spends those 3 years, that's what he's thinking about, is like, how did I miss it? Those 10 years, that decade long that he's connected and waiting to go on mission, he's thinking about, how did I miss it? How did I not see Christ in all of it? He even goes as far as to say in Galatians that I didn't learn this from anyone. I didn't go hang out with all the apostles in Jerusalem. I learned this by direct revelation from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has the power to convict us, to transform us, to change us, and to get us on mission. But the real question is, are you open to the interruption of the Spirit? Are you open? This kind of goes back to the first point is, are we so busy that we're not open to the Holy Spirit? Or where an interruption by the Holy Spirit would seem like, why are you doing this? Like, I got this to do, I got this to do, I got this. Like, I'm sure that Saul had a lot of things that he wanted to do on the road to Damascus, right? He had his letter in hand. I'm going to go get him. And the Spirit interrupts him. And it changes the course of history. Because Paul was open to the interruption of the Spirit. We, as Gentile believers, know Jesus Christ. So are you willing to be interrupted by the Spirit? Are you willing to put aside everything that you have going on in your life to say, this is the set amount of time that I'm going to be connected? And are you willing to take it a step further? What if the Holy Spirit comes to you at a different time? What if this is my set time? It's in the morning with my coffee. That's when I read my word. Does that mean you're not going to listen to the Spirit at lunch? I hope not. I hope you'd be open then. Are you willing and able to allow the Holy Spirit to interrupt your life? Read a little bit further. Now it starts to get a little bit interesting. Acts 13, verse 4. So Barnabas and Saul were sent out by the Holy Spirit. They went down to the seaport of Seleucia and then sailed on the island of Cyprus. There in the town of Salamis, they went to the Jewish synagogues and preached the word of God. John Mark went with them as their assistant. Afterwards, they traveled to a town across the entire island until they reached Paphos.
where they met a Jewish sorcerer, a false prophet named Bar-Jesus. He had attached himself to the governor, Sergius Paulus, who was an intelligent man. Do you think he wrote that himself? He's like, hey, by the way, just put in there, he's an intelligent man. I would have. The governor invited Barnabas and Saul to visit him, for he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, as his name means in Greek, interfered and urged the governor to pay no attention to what Barnabas and Saul said. He was trying to keep the governor from believing. Our next point is this: a spirit-filled life expects resistance. Opposition is not the absence of God. How many times, maybe just like by raising your hand, how many times you feel like you got a word from God, or you feel like the Holy Spirit is working in your life in a powerful way, and you're like, all right, this is what I'm going to do. I've set aside this amount of time. I'm going to do this. I'm ready. And as soon as you speak it into life, how many of you, just by raising your hand, have that moment where the enemy attacks you? Yeah. Honestly, if we were being honest, everybody's hand would go up. Isn't it amazing that the enemy, as soon as you set aside everything and say, this is the moment that I'm going to be connected to the Holy Spirit, your phone rings. Do you think it's really somebody calling, or is it the enemy saying, nah, I don't want you getting too close? The enemy wants us to be just close enough. Right? Because if we're too far away from the Holy Spirit, then he doesn't really care because he's got you. But if you're too far the other way, then you're hard to reach. It's when we're right on that line, right? Like when we're right here and the Holy Spirit can just, or the enemy can kind of just grab us and just pull us back just a little bit. Those small distractions in our life, that's what takes us away from the Holy Spirit. And they come in the form of many different things. Now, I'm not saying, listen to what I'm not saying. I'm not saying your kids are from the enemy, okay? Did everyone hear that? I need a physical shaking of the head. Okay. Your kids are not from the enemy, but how often when we try to be connected to the Holy Spirit, something with our kids comes up? I'll raise my hand for that one. If my wife were in here, she'd raise her hand right now. I'm not talking about you. You're fine. You're good. Okay? It's your brother. I'm just kidding. But how often, like, as soon as we get to that place, the enemy comes and finds us. We feel like we've set everything apart. We're ready to go, and the enemy finds us. How do we resist that? Right? I can sit up here and talk all about it and say it's going to happen, but how do we resist that moment? Go back to the beginning of the story. They have been connected to the Holy Spirit ever since the conversion. And we said that you can't hear from the Spirit unless you're what? Connected. How do we resist those moments? We make sure that we're connected. Even in our interruption that happens, are we continuing to say, all right, it didn't work out this time, right? Something came up with my kids, my family called, like whatever it was, I'm still going to make it a priority to do it. So even in those moments when we get distracted, are we still trying to incorporate that into our life somehow? So maybe you failed on Monday. Guess what? Tuesday's coming. Maybe you failed on Tuesday. Wednesday's coming. Like, what we're talking about is not a sprint. The walk in holiness is a marathon. It's day by day by day. And it often, I always talk about how holiness often looks like the Israelites in the wilderness, where it's like this. Up and down, up and down. Never here. We're going to have good days. We're going to have bad days. We're going to have days we're really connected to the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to have days that we're just so disconnected. We're like, am I even a follower of Christ? I'll admit to you that there's been times in my life following Christ I felt like so disconnected from the Holy Spirit. I'm like, am I a true believer? Like, how would somebody who's a true believer be this disconnected from the Holy Spirit? Like, how's that possible? Maybe I was never a believer. But then the next day we get reconnected, right? And the time with the Holy Spirit from someone you don't know. Further. Acts 13, verse 9. Saul, also known as Paul, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he looked the sorcerer in the eye. Then he said, "You son of the devil, full of every sort of deceit and fraud, and enemy of all that is good, will you never stop perverting the true ways of the Lord? Watch now, for the Lord has laid his hand of punishment upon you, and you will be struck blind. You will not see the sunlight for some time." Instantly, mist and darkness came over the man's eyes, and he began groping around, begging for someone to take his hand and lead him. When the governor saw what had happened, he became a believer, for he was astonished at the teaching about the Lord. Our next point is this: power follows obedience. I just want to highlight a few things here from this section. Saul, also known as Paul. Now, you're going to sound really intelligent next time that you have this conversation with someone. Because someone will say, "Do you know that God changed Saul's name to Paul?" And you'll go, "Uh-uh. No, he didn't. Same name. Different interpretation. One was the Jewish. One was the Gentile. Saul and Paul the same, okay? So you guys got that? We there? So next time someone has that conversation with you, you're going to be like, "Listen to this. Let me drop some knowledge on you." You're going to sound so smart. You guys don't care. Okay. I thought that was going to go over really well. So it is actually at this point, I'll get back on track, okay? So it's actually this point in the book of Acts that we no longer refer to Saul as Saul. Luke only refers to him as Paul. Now, many scholars will say that that's because he was starting to take the message to the Gentiles, and it was easier for them to understand his name as Paul and not Saul. See, now you even got a backstory for it. You guys still don't care. Okay, all right. Verse 12 says this: when the governor saw what had happened, he became a believer, for he was astonished at the teaching about the Lord. And so here we have Luke highlighting another, like, important Roman person converting to Christianity. Like, this is really important for Luke in the way that he writes in Acts, is that he wants to show you that the message of God can go anywhere, even to the most powerful people at the time. That's what he's highlighting here. He's saying that this governor, who was a really intelligent man, right? I joked about that earlier, but it's in there for a reason. Because even this really intelligent man was swayed by the enemy. Like, someone who was able to think clearly and understand was able to be deceived by the enemy. And it wasn't until he was connected to the Holy Spirit that he saw the errors of his ways. Now, why do I say that? Because I think you're intelligent people. Some of you. But we're all pretty intelligent people. And how easily can we be sidetracked by the enemy if we're not connected to the Holy Spirit? I want to ask this question. What space are you leaving for the Spirit to speak and send? What space are you leaving for the Spirit to speak and send? And this is kind of like the culmination of this message, but it's also like the culmination of this series. And we've kind of touched on it already a little bit. If we're not connected to the Holy Spirit, we're not going to be able to understand the way that God has chosen to speak to his people today. I think that's like the easiest way that I can say it. That if we're not connected to the Holy Spirit, there is no revelation from God today. Like, Jesus is not just going to, like, the next time that Jesus shows up, like, a lot of things are going to happen, and we're not going to have time to ask questions. Right? So the way that God reveals himself to us today is through the Holy Spirit, how it empowers other people, how it empowers God. Like, that's how he chose to speak to us today. And so if we're not connected to that Holy Spirit, we're not going to hear the revelation of God for us today. It's going to be more difficult for us to walk in holiness if we're not connected to the Holy Spirit. So, church, I hope we understand, and we've taken these 5 weeks to really see like how vital the Holy Spirit is to the message of God. I don't want us to ever think like the Holy Spirit is like the third fiddle of the Trinity. It's all equal, all encompassing. That without the Holy Spirit, at least for me, I'm powerless. Like, how would we resist anything without the Holy Spirit? Because if we're left to our own power, I know for me, like, I fail every time. Whenever I try to do it alone, on my own, I fail every single time. And you know what I say in my head? I got this. I got it. I've done a few push-ups. I got this. No, I fail every single time. And we as a church community, listen, we as a church community will fail if we are not connected to the Holy Spirit. I don't think I could be any more blunt than that. Like, if we as a community are not connected to the Holy Spirit, we will fail. Now, we might have the doors stay open. The bills might be paid. But for us to be on mission, for us to spread the good news of Jesus Christ and how he died on the cross for everyone, we will fail. And one of the things that I love, and this is my last point, and then we'll finish up. One of the things that I love that we started doing is before every message, there's a group of us that get together in my office, and we invite the Holy Spirit into this room. We invite the Holy Spirit to speak over the words, to speak over the worship, to speak over the service. I tell you that to say this. There is a pocket of people that are trusting in the Holy Spirit who are praying for each of you before service. But it can't just be a small pocket of people. Like, we as a community need to be connected. We as a community need to come together for VBS and say, Holy Spirit, do your work in our VBS. Reach out to the community. Show these kids how much God loves them. Holy Spirit, be with the women's kayaking event when they invite a friend over to come and kayak who doesn't yet know Christ. Like, Holy Spirit, work in that moment. It's never about us. It's all about the Holy Spirit and how he empowers us for mission. Because once we have the blinders off and we see that everything we do is on mission and for mission, that's when this community becomes really fun. That's when showing up for certain events are like, all right, we're here for food boxes, but what's the Holy Spirit going to do today? We're here for VBS, but what's the Holy Spirit going to do today? Would you stand with me? Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we just so thankful that as we gather together as a community, that we can be centered and focused around your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that these 5 weeks that we as a church community realize the importance of the Holy Spirit. Not that we didn't understand it before, but that you have revealed some new revelation in our mind about how the Holy Spirit is speaking to us today. And Lord, I pray now for this church community that we didn't just spend this time talking about your Holy Spirit only to be forgotten. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would convict us now. That whatever it is that popped in our head, that your Spirit would see it through. Whether it's to call someone that we haven't talked to in a while, whether it's a new discipline that we need to set aside time to hear from you, whatever it may be, Lord, I pray that this church community realizes and understands that we are powerless without you, that we can do none of this without you. And I pray that this church community would be on mission, that we would see the needs of the people around us, that we would take your word seriously, that we are to love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that we are to love our neighbors. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen.